14th chapter of John's Gospel. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God.
We're going to begin reading with the first verse.
John 14, verse 1.
Let not your heart be troubled, but ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us.
I'm going to conclude the reading there, but keep your Bibles handy. I'm going to be reading some other scriptures and even some more in the 14th chapter here. But to begin, I'm going to mention some scriptures that go along, maybe not in the same setting, but I would like to mention some scriptures from some the other Gospels, from Matthew, Mark, and from Luke. In Matthew chapter 19, the rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he wanted something from God. He said, I want eternal life. And yet he was not willing to come God's way, and so he did not receive eternal life. In Mark chapter number 10, the blind Bartimaeus wanted something from God. He wanted to receive his sight, he wanted to be able to see, and God healed him. In the 10th chapter of Luke, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, wanted something. He wanted Jesus to come and heal his young daughter, a junior high student, come and heal her because he was at the point of death. Here in chapter 14, the 5th verse, Thomas wanted something. He wanted to know the way. And then we see in the 8th verse, Philip wanted something. He wanted to be shown the Father. And the question tonight, in the last service of the year, we've come tonight in this last time together for the year. What is your request? What do you want from God? What do you want the Lord to do for you? And that is quite a statement, Somebody said, well, Brother Jones, I want so much. What can you believe God for? In 1 Kings, if you'll turn there with me, 1 Kings chapter 3, after Solomon had been king of Israel just a short time, he went to a city called Gibeon, and there was a high place there, and the Bible says while he was there, he offered 1,000 burnt sacrifices. Let me stop right there. Solomon, the son of David, the last king of Israel, goes to Gibeon after a short time of being king, and while he's there, he offers 1,000 sacrifices. Some people have the idea that there's a waste to do so much and to give so much for the glory of God. Some people think it's wrong or a foolish to give like we give to the cause of Christ. Brother, you've never outgiven God. Whatever you've given, any time you've ever given, God always gives back more. Amen, amen. I'm not talking just monetarily wise. I want you to see Solomon offering 1,000 sacrifices. And when God saw his heart and what he desired to do to please the Lord, the Bible says that God came to him that night in a dream. Said, Solomon, make your request. What would you like for me to do? What would you like from God? I thought, what a statement. Solomon, whatever it is, I've watched your heart, I've seen your heart, and you've decided to be pleasing in my sight, and you've offered 1,000 sacrifices, and your heart is right, you have the right spirit. What would you like for me to do? That's what I shall give thee. I'm going to read verses 6 through 9 in the 3rd chapter of 1 Kings. Solomon said, Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he hath walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast set for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thyself a king instead of David my father. I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. Thy servant is not in the midst of thy, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give unto thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Who is able to judge this thy so great a people? That's Solomon's response. Think about it. That he could have asked for good help. He could have asked for the blessings of a long life. He could have asked for riches that he might enjoy, live in royal fashion. He could have asked for victory over all of his enemies, that the nation should live in peace. But he didn't ask for any of those, the Bible says. He could have asked for anything, but he didn't ask for these. He realized the responsibility of being the leader of God's people. And he said, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know how to go out and come in. I don't know how to go back worshiping or serving and being with the enemy. Teach me, Lord. Give me wisdom that I might be the servant that you have me to be. I ask for none of these other things, but God, I don't know what to do nor how to do. And so he answered God's order by asking for wisdom, asking for an understanding heart. Let me stop right there tonight. Just share this out of my heart. Did you know we come to times in our lives we just don't know what to do? We don't know which way to turn. We don't know exactly what is next. But I am here to tell you tonight, for myself and for my family and for everyone in the church, he knows. He has the answer. Thank God, thank God, thank God. What would you have me to do? And he says, God, just give me an understanding heart that I might know how. This is what he said, that I might know how to lead your people. This great people, the seed of Abraham, that have received the inheritance, that have been promised the inheritance of Canaan's land, that I might know how to go out and come in, that I might know how to be what you'd have me to be, that I might be the servant that you'd have me to be. And this last Sunday night of the year, I'm saying the same thing. I've been in the ministry a long time, but I still have the same desire tonight, God, that I might know how to do what you want me to do. I might be how and what you want me to be. Hallelujah. God, I've not learned it all. I said, so much I don't know. But I know one thing, my desire is to please you. And to serve God with all of my heart. Then notice the answer. He pleased God in the 12th verse. All I have done according to thy words, all I have given thee, a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee. Neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Both riches and honor, so that thou shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. If thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did well, then I will lengthen thy days. You didn't ask for long life, but I'm going to give it to you. You didn't ask for riches, but I'm going to give it to you. You didn't ask for some of these other things, but because you ask something in my will, I want to give you these other things as well. Let me share this with you tonight. God knows not only how to bless you and to answer your prayers, he will give you dividends and bonuses along the line. Some of you might have received a bonus this Christmas time. I don't know, but maybe you have. But listen, serving God, there's bonuses all the time. Bonuses all the time, living for the Lord. Hallelujah. He had the right spirit. He wanted that which was best for the people of God, not for himself. And because of that, the Lord said, what is it that you want me to give you? Let me just leave that thought with you and have some other illustrations. But he had the right spirit. He had the right attitude. It wasn't for himself. He wanted for the people. He wanted for others. I said this before, I'm going to repeat it tonight. My mother, long time ago, was the leader of the youth service, a youth group in our church where I was raised, and she had she taught this, and it stuck with me. She mentioned the word joy, and I've mentioned it here. J-O-Y. And that night when she mentioned it, it sort of stuck in my mind, it's been there ever since, that the J stands for Jesus. That Y stands for yourself. And that O in the middle stands for others. If you get yourself out of kilter in the wrong place, the joy is gone. If you get Jesus in the wrong place, the joy is gone. But if you keep Jesus at the top of the list, and others in between, if you have a concern for others, like Solomon had, Lord, not for me, but for the people's sake, teach me how to go out and come in. Teach me what to do and how to do. And may God help us as we began, as we come to the beginning of a new year, God help us to keep that in mind. Jesus always at the top of the list. Ourselves, yourself at the bottom. And others in between. I promise you this, if you'll reach out to others, God will reach out to you. I got a letter this week from Franklin Graham, thanking us for the gift, the nice gift that the church gave for those in the Philippines after they had that terrible cyclone that went through and destroyed so much of the land and the peoples. He wrote a nice letter about thanking us. I got a letter, my wife and I got a letter this week from Sister List, Jailer List, her brother Philip List's wife. She is back in Nairobi. Brother Philip is dead, and now the daughter and son-in-law work in the ministry there in the Calvary Church in Nairobi, and she just wanted to thank us and the church. Thank the church for all the years that you have given to the ministry in Kenya for the cause of Christ, what God has done, and the new building, the new church buildings that you have given for. I look back tonight and I read these letters and some of the people that sent us a Christmas card that have been going from this church for years and years and years and sent us a Christmas card and to the church. I thought, God, it's good tonight to know the Lord and serve Him with all your heart. And God gives blessings time and time again. I'm going to turn to the second chapter of Nehemiah. You don't need to turn there. I'm not going to be reading any scriptures. But 70 years after the captivity of Babylon, as foretold by the prophets of God, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, and Daniel, the Bible tells me that when the captivity was over, some of the Jews remained behind. They stayed in Babylon. They stayed in that part of the world. They did not come back to Israel. They built their homes and they had gotten married and they had families and they had businesses and they remained there and the captivity was over. They had freedom and liberty. But they didn't come, many of them didn't come back home. And the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah that there came a time when Nehemiah had a position with the king. He's the cupbearer of the king. And he got news from home that back home in Jerusalem and in Judea, how that they've been overrun, and how when the Babylonians came all of those years ago, had they destroyed the city and tore down the walls and tore down all the buildings and whatever, destroyed the gates. And they told that news to Nehemiah, and he's over yonder in another country. That's his home country. Although he was no doubt born in captivity, but that's his home. And the Bible says when he heard it, he sat down and wept. He cried. It broke his heart. When he went before the king to be the king's cupbearer, the king noticed that his countenance was not the same and said, "What's the matter, Nehemiah? Why are you so sad?" Nehemiah prayed and asked God to help him. He began to tell the king what had happened in his home country, what had taken place, how that he would love to go back. And so the king asked him, "What would you like for me to do? What do you want?" And so he gave him three responses. "I'd like for you to give me a leave of absence so that I might go back and rebuild the walls and rebuild the gates and the buildings and get the city back in place. Get all the rubbish cleaned up. I'd like to have a leave of absence. And king, I would like for you, if you would, to sign an oath of authority that when I go across the river, the new Great Euphrates River, going back to my home country, when I get on the other side, and you're in charge of all of that, you're the king of all of that, when I get across the river, would you sign a word showing that those that are in leadership across on the other side, those that are governors on the other side, that they will give us a free walk through the country, that they will allow us to go through without any harm. Thirdly, and when we get back home, you have the forest, your man is in charge of the king's forest, would you sign an authority, a letter of authority, so that we can get all the timber that we need to rebuild the city?" Somebody said, "Brother Jones, he asked for a whole lot. He realized he has a big God." Sometimes he says you have not because you ask not.
I believe God would like for us tonight, the last Sunday night of the year, to believe Him for something big. Believe Him for a Holy Ghost revival. Believe Him for the move of God like we've never seen in this church. Amen, amen. Believe Him. He's God, He's God, He's God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, I'm not going to turn there, but let me just say, I'm going to paraphrase what He said. And the King gave Him the desires of His heart. Gave Him a leave of absence. Asked Him first of all about how long do you think you'll be gone. Let Him go. And gave Him that is what I wanted to go through the governors on the other side of the river, to let Him go through and then from the forest to get all the timber that you need. Listen tonight, whatever we really need from God, it will go to God with favor, and God will see to it that He's all met. Amen. I believe that. I believe it tonight. Amen. The Bible lets me to know that Nehemiah went back and rebuilt the wall. God, in record time, God blessed him. And I'm asking God for the church, for the Abundant Life Tabernacle. God, help us in all that we do. When the king asked him, what do you want? What do you want? He answered by that threefold request. Hallelujah. Then in the eighth verse, in the last part, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me, because of God's goodness and mercy, because Nehemiah had the right spirit, because Nehemiah loved Jerusalem and God's chosen city. He was given the desires of his heart. I ask one more time tonight, what do you want from God? What do you want from God? Thirdly, in the book of Esther, chapter number 5, and again, I'm not going to ask you to turn there. Here's a young Jewish maiden. She too is born and raised in captivity. Her mom and dad have died. She's been raised by a kinsman. And the Bible says that she grows into womanhood. And that Ahasuerus, the king, comes in the land. And his wife were at odds. And so he sent his wife back by his side and he went looking for another wife. And Esther was chosen. A Jewish maiden was chosen to be the queen of the land. Here's the king, Ahasuerus, that rules from India to Ethiopia. All the territory of the ancient kingdom of Egypt. The ancient kingdom of Syria. The past kingdom of Babylon. He owns it all. He rules it all. 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. And Esther is the queen. And the Bible says that there's a man in the cabinet of the king by the name of Haman. And Haman saw a man that was out there in the courtyard, a Jew, that would not stand, would not bow when Haman, this cabinet member, that thought he was so great, he would not bow, he would not do obeisance to Haman, and it made Haman mad. Mm-hmm. And this is what he came up with. I'm going to find a way to kill him. Not only will I kill him, I'll kill all of his people. I'll kill the Jews, all the Jews in the province of King Ahasuerus. I'll put them all to death. He was the king's right-hand man. And it looked like everything was right in place. And we find that Mordecai, the kinsman of the Queen Esther, here's what's going on. And now the death of penalty is upon them. And Haman is out to kill them. And he sends word to the palace. And he says, tell Queen Esther, she's got to do something. Tell Queen Esther to go to the king and speak in behalf of her people. Tell them to go there and plead for the people. And she said, word back. He said, I can't go. It's been so many days and he's not called to me. If I go in before him without him calling for me, if he does not hold out the golden scepter, he can put me to death. I'm his wife. But he can put me to death if I haven't been chosen to come in before him in these days. Mordecai sent word back to Esther. Said, well, who knows? Yes, that might be the reason that you're the queen. That might be the reason that God took you there. And I really believe that God put her there. That might be the reason that you're right there now as the queen of the land. And she said, if you'll have the people fast and pray, calling on God. I realize if I go before the king, if he does not hold out the golden scepter, I can be put to death. And then she said those immortal words, and if I perish, I perish. And she went before the king. And I'm not going to read it. I've got to jot it down. But he held out the golden scepter. And this is what he asked in a sense. He said to Esther, Queen Esther, what do you want? What would you like to have? Isn't that amazing? What would you like for me to do? And I'm not going through the whole story, but finally, if you will spare my people, that's one in your kingdom, and later on they found out that it was Haman, that's one in your kingdom that is out to destroy the Jews, and I've come to just ask if you will spare them. My request is spare the people. What would you have me to do? And the Bible said that he made a decree. Listen closely. He did not kill any of those that were fighting with Haman. Haman died. He was hung on his own doubts. He was going to kill the Jews from now. He was going to kill Mordecai, but he's hung on his own gallows and his own son of Israel. And now I find out that the king said the Jews can stand up for themselves, and God stood with him.
Yes.
Listen to what I tell you now. When the king said, what do you want? She wasn't thinking about herself.
Right.
She was willing to give her life
right.
for her people. She had the right spirit. She had the right attitude. These were God's people. She wanted God somehow to spare his people.
Yes.
Not so much for herself. She was willing to die for that very cause. I ask you tonight, what do you want from God in this last service of the year? God gave them the desires of their hearts. And when you read the rest of the story, the Jewish people were spared. And I'll just throw this out, but I just have another point, but let me just throw this out. When God told Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis, I'm going to bless you and your seed and make your name great and the people of your seed great. And they're going to inherit the land and they're going to be great across the land and bless all the people. Don't you know? That promise still holds true.
Yes,
4,000 years has been and that promise still holds true. God is still blessing his people.
Yes, yes.
The Jews have said it more than we can imagine. I read just recently the story in the Second World War. It just breaks my heart. Every time we went to that museum in Jerusalem about the Holocaust and the rest, when I see those pictures, and they were there as lambs on slaughter.
Yeah.
They were put on planes and not knowing what was going to happen, and they went right to the others and right to the slaughter. Killed by the thousands, by the millions. Jews and Southern! I want everyone to understand there. God shows the people. God provided for them, God takes care of them, and God's going to bring them through, and the Bible tells me, although they're still living, as we mentioned this morning in the Sunday school class, they still go back to the living wall, and they pray, and they ask God to send the Messiah. God send the Messiah, we want the Messiah to come. They have long before they come, and they pray for the Messiah to come one of these days. The Messiah comes for the Jews, amen. And they will accept him as the Lord of God of our lives, amen. And the Lord comes back to the church, amen. The Jews are going to pray to it. Both fail. Enter into the leader, amen. Hallelujah. Serving God with all of their hearts. Hold in God. Send it from God. Amen. Brother, it's what happens just like God said. What do you want? What are you asking for, Lester? I'm asking you to spare my people. Not for herself. Not for anything for herself, but for people. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. When I was reading and those questions, and the thought came to me. I got up Tuesday night again. See, my Tuesday night's a good night. I went downstairs because I had some thoughts, and I jotted them down. I was down there for about an hour. And when I got back to bed, my wife was awake. Wanted to know what was I said, I've got a thought, and if I don't write it down, I'll forget it. And I jotted some things down, and I thought about the questions that had been raised. What do you want? What do you want? And has she made a request? And finally, in 2 Kings chapter number 2, and I'm going to close. This is one of the great stories of the Bible. Elijah was a fiery prophet. Elijah had poured fire down from God out of heaven. Break down fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice on Mount Carmel. Miracle after miracle after miracle. God had worked in his life. And now, God's told him something like God, the Holy Ghost, told Simeon. Not about seeing the Messiah, but he told Elijah, I'm going to take you to heaven. Let me ask you a question. How would you feel if God told me he's going to take you to heaven without dying? And there's never been an astronaut. There's never been any months in a spacecraft. And God said, I'm going to take you to heaven.
Yes.
And Elijah realized it. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, they were in Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elijah, stay here at Gilgal. I'm going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use Charlotte's vernacular. Mm-hmm. Not on your life. You're not going to leave me at Gilgal.
No,
I'm going with you.
Because
I know what's going to happen to you. I've heard word too. And so they went from Gilgal to Bethel. When they got to Bethel, Elijah said, Elijah, stay here. I'm going down. Not on your life. I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. They went on, the Bible says, they went on to Jericho. And Elijah again says to it, Elijah, say here, I'm going yonder, I'm going with you. They came to Jordan, ready to cross over. Elijah said to him, stay here. No, sir, I'm going with you. You know the story. Elijah took his mantle and struck the waters of the Jordan River. And the power of God was revealed. And the waters rolled back and he walked across on dry ground. And Elijah was right with him. Got on the other side. God lets me know in the Bible that Elijah said to Elisha, if you see me, go away. Ask what you want. What do you want? What do you want? If you see me when I call out of here, what do you want? And Elijah said, I want a double portion of what you have.
Yes.
I want a double portion of the anointing.
Yes.
I want a double portion of the Holy Ghost. I want a double portion of the power of God. I want a double portion of what God has given you. So I didn't want to come back tonight, just for a few moments. Then in Gilgal, the word Gilgal means circle. Meaning, and I said, anyone is Gilgal, literally, is a type of those that are going in circles and not making any headway. That's the way you and I were when we were in sin. Going nowhere fast. Going in circles. They went from Gilgal to Bethel, and Bethel is meaning the house of God. Type of salvation doesn't mean that Elijah got saved there. He was a man of God that was going to Gilgal. I'm just sharing with the name, the meaning of the names. Gilgal means circle. But that means the house of God, a type of salvation. But it means Bethel and go down to the Jericho. A fragrant talk, fragrance. The fragrance of the city of Jericho. The sweetness of holiness.
Yeah.
A wonderful spirit. Did you know? You can't be sanctified and have the wrong spirit. And so they go to Jericho, a type of the beautiful fragrance of holiness, and go on to Jordan, and the Jordan is the descender, a type of the Holy Ghost. And when they get on the other side, and Elijah is asked, what do you want? And he said, I want a double portion of what you've got. And when it began to dawn on me, what was the double portion? Elijah has been part in seven major miracles. A man of God. And Elisha saying, I want a double portion. I read an article that I don't believe a bit of it. Said that Elisha was looking out for himself and wanting to be somebody. I don't hear that at all. That's nonsense. He wanted to be a vessel for the Lord God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes, he was
a I want a double portion of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
I want a double portion of the anointing.
Right.
He watched Elijah take off his mantle, take away his mantle, and strike the water. And the water flowed back. I want the same power of double portion. If you see me go, Elijah said, you'll have it. Whatever you ask, you have it. And when the chariots from heaven came down by the church, God, Elijah took him away. Elijah had his eyes on him, and Elijah chopped his mantle down, and Elijah picked up his mantle and went back to the Jordan River and said, there is the Lord God of Elijah, and struck the water, and the water flowed back. Hallelujah. The same power that Elijah had. I want to know the same power that Elijah had is still real tonight.
Right. Yes,
it is. Question and phrase, and I'm going to say, what do you want? Mm-hmm. What do you want from God in the new year? Mm-hmm. What do you want? This morning I mentioned I would like for my wife to be healed completely.
Yes.
I'd like for Brother Bill to be able to walk out of his house and sit on that back bench.
Yes.
And give glory to God.
Yes, sir.
When it's already been turned over to the hospice.
Yes.
They don't expect him to die, Brother Stephen. They expect him to die, Brother Stephen. He's believing for a miracle.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
He prayed and prayed and cried and cried. Christmas Day, one of the Christmas miracles. I think the Son of God in the
house.
I don't want to give anyone any false hope. I don't have the answer, but he does.
Yes.
Elisha said, I want a double portion. I want the power of God in my life. And so I'm going to leave some of you here tonight. We're going to pray. God has been so good, and there's so many things that I'd like for God to do. The Bible says, write them all down. I'd like for God to go by and touch Brother Luke and Betty Jane and Mara and on and on and on. But I would like to shed this in my clothes. I want God. That is the divine will.
Amen.
And give it to the pastor.
Yes.
More than I want.
Yes.
Anyone healed, even my wife, he said, Brother Jones, I can't believe you said that. I want God's will.
Amen.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
This church was begun in the word of God. God spoke to us.
Yes, it did.
37 years ago, God spoke to us. I want God. I want the anointing of God to be away in the lives of everyone. I want miracles of healing. I want God to do again what He has done in the past, but I hope the will of God concerning the church. And I mean that with all my heart. I hope the new year be so blessed of God that His will be done.
Yes. Yes.
But it's so great. Will you stand together with me?
Amen. Amen.